Good afternoon, and welcome to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined as usual by my buddy, Mr. Mike Yakubik. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Joseph.
Michael, let us begin with a prayer as we always do. We'll do our prayer to St. Michael.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of
the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We got a few degrees coming up here for the month of November, Michael.
It's always a good thing, Joseph.
Yep, and we got to keep our state deputy happy.
You got that right. And Jack Rossetti.
And Jack. Yeah, we keep forgetting about Jack. All right, here we go. On Tuesday, November the 5th, an admission or first degree will be conducted by St. Joseph Council 6353. They're located at 2935 Kingston Road, East York. Candidates should arrive no later than 5:45, and the degree is to begin at 6 p.m. On Wednesday, November the 6th, another admission degree will be conducted by Sacred Heart Council 14349. They're located at the Sacred Heart Parish Center, 146 Main Street in Spring Grove. Candidates should arrive no later than 6:45, and the degree is to begin at 7. Another one on the 6th, another admission degree will be conducted by St. Patrick Council, 11872. They're located at 219 South Beaver Street in York. Candidates should arrive no later than 6:45, and the degree is to begin at 7. I'll give you one more. It'll get us up to the 12th of November. But an admission degree will be conducted by Council 1530, located at 251 East Main Street in Dallastown. Candidate should arrive no later than 6:30, and the degree is to begin at 7. And that's that.
That's good. You know, just a reminder to everyone, Grand Knights, FSs, financial secretaries, district deputies, make sure when you schedule these degrees, get the word out. Let Jim Nardone know, the webmaster for the state website, because we can get these posted in the Central East region. You can actually get it to Dave Kern, and Dave Kern has... we have our own little thing for Central East, and you can get the information out, and that way it'll get to Joe. Joe will make the announcements, and it's really a good thing. I just give you a little heads up. We kind of watch the there's a site that officers see, and it kind of breaks down where we are as far as amongst all the states and all the countries that have Knights of Columbus.
And who's doing degrees and who's getting, like,
well,
what kind
this
of membership?
Is actually how many people are coming in for the Circle of Honor for the state and for the different places.
Sure.
And what happens is you always want to be above the 30th. There's, like, numbers. And
sure,
there's,
sure.
I don't know how many numbers there are because so far Pennsylvania's been doing pretty good. I think right now we're in 21st place with a little bit of effort. And I'm really talking just a little bit. If every council brought in even just one night, we would jump up into the top 10 most likely, percentage-wise. So, you know, it's something to think about. If you, and hopefully, if you're a member of the Knights of Columbus, you believe in what we do. And if that's true, you should always want more Catholic men to be members.
What a concept.
I mean, you know, that,
sure.
I mean, you know, you would just think, it's just like anything else, if somebody's giving free ice cream out, you yell to all your buddies. I remember when I was little, if we knew that something went on sale down at Shookie's store, we'd tell everybody, hey, Shookie's giving you 2-for-1 on Twinsicles. So I think it's just the way it is. So if you're happy with your faith and you're happy with what the Knights are doing toward that, you know, bring in more people because make us all happy. Joe, I think you have some relatively good news.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're recording this show on... Halloween morning, basically, the 31st. Mm-hmm. As most of our listeners know, we've been running a silent pledge drive for the month of October. And you can donate anytime. Just go to our webpage, 720whyf.com, and click on the donate button. But for the month of October, being the month of the rosary and what have you, the last total I got was $5,574.25.
Yeah, that's
don't
good.
Ask me where the 25 cents came from, but that is what it is. And 365 rosaries were said. for the success of our station. That's not too shabby.
No,
for
it's not.
Days.
And I think that's something that we should all be proud of. Anytime you pray to Our Lady, you know that she's right there next to Jesus, next to God. I mean, it's an easy thing to ask for intercession. And, you know, I get a lot of things. You know, Protestant people say you pray to Mary, and we don't. I mean, we pray to Mary for her intercession.
It's to intercede to her son.
I mean, that's what it's all about. We do not pray to Mary or to anybody else. We pray for their assistance. And I don't think it's much different. You know, if when I was young, Dad was in charge.
Mm-hmm.
But I can guarantee you, it was a lot easier to go to Mom to talk to Dad than it was to go to Dad head on.
You always went through Mom.
Dad always kind of like everything was no. Unless he changed his mind. But if you talk to Mom first, a lot of times those no's were, well, yeah, I guess it's okay, you know.
Or let me think about it.
And I think that's really the same thing.
It's a dad thing, and that was the fear that you grew up with.
Yeah, and I think it's the same thing. I think, you know, it's always been like that. The Blessed Virgin is the one that... At the marriage feast at Cana. Yeah. She was the one that did everything, if you really think about it, because, you know, Jesus wasn't even contacted by the married couple or the soon-to-be married. Well, it was the married couple. No one talked to him. This chief steward didn't talk to him. The Blessed Virgin says, do what he tells you.
Yeah, he said, they're out of line. He says, do what he tells you. Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that we have to keep in mind. That's why we ask for Mary's help. Because it's just like being the married couple at Cana. Hey, America, you do something for us, you know. What? You know, can your son help us out? And that's really what we do. You know, we ask for his intercession.
That sounds silly, but, you know, when you look back at the marriage feast of Cana and who was there, the conversation and us making a little bit light of it here, it may not have been too far from
I really don't believe it is because of the fact that, you mean, I don't think our Lord wasn't ready yet to manifest himself. Mm-mm. But again, even though he wasn't ready, the love of his mother,
he said,
I'll do it. And I think that's what we kind of do as Catholics, is counting a little bit more on her love to make sure we obtain his mercy, because it's his mercy. Let's face it, none of us are going to heaven without Jesus' mercy.
That's why they make the sacraments, and reconciliation, the whole deal. Yep.
Yeah. One of the things I wanted to talk about today, Joseph, is Tuesday we had an opportunity. I think it was Tuesday. I get my dates so screwed up.
It was Tuesday because you called me. Yeah.
We went over to meet with the Director of Vocations, Father Sawicki, and the Secretariat for Clergy and Consecrated Life, Father Foray. And when I say we, I'm talking about myself and a really good guy that we're lucky to have. Our diocesan coordinator is Dave Kern.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Kern is doing an outstanding job in his position. And I think it relates back to everything he's done. I think, and I could be wrong in this, he could end up being, and if I am, I'll be corrected, I'm sure. I know that for at least twice, he's been Star District. It may even be three or four times. And now he's doing the diocesan coordinator job, and that's extremely important. And like I said, we got to meet with Father Forway and Father Sawicki, and we talked about different things in, especially RSVP from the Knights' perspective. And the problem that we're having, and it's one that we've always had, we want to do two things. First of all, we want to make sure that if you're a council and you have a seminarian that comes out of your parish,
mm-hmm.
we always want you to be able to support them. For one thing is just like anybody else, if you know someone, you want to make sure that you can do everything you can to assist them.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want to make sure that if you have a parish that has a seminarian that, let's say, one of two things happens. First of all, there may not be a council in that parish.
Mm-hmm. Which is entirely possible.
Or secondly, it could be an extremely small council, and they just can't muster up $500, even $100 to help out the seminarian. So what we're trying to look at is looking at the bigger picture. And we're going to be working with Father Sawicki very closely and Deb Kerstetter in the director of vocations office to try to make sure that we do two things. We allow our councils that want to support one of their own to make sure they're able to do that, but also to make sure that we don't leave any seminarian left behind. Now, there are some seminarians that have actually said, I don't need assistance, you know, whatever it may be. It may be that they're an older seminarian, and, you know, they may have been out in the workforce for 20 or 30 years, and then they decided to go into the priesthood. Well, naturally, you know, after 30 or 40 years, most of us are pretty well healed. We know what we're doing.
And you know, got some money in the bank that it's less of an issue to pay for your college.
Yeah, so you say, well, I don't really need this. You know, I wouldn't have made this decision if I couldn't afford it. And then you have the other one where some of the young men that go to the seminary are a cross-section of all of us, and perhaps their parents or their brothers or their sisters are in a financial state where they say, you don't have to worry about anything, Bill. You know, we're going to pack you up and we'll take care of you. So I think that's what we're looking at. And what we're trying to be is more equitable. We want to make sure that every council out there has an opportunity to support a seminarian. We also want to make sure that every seminarian is supported to one level or another. And we know that some seminarians have difficulties during their seminary life. I mean, it takes a while to be a priest.
Yes, it does.
And,
yes, it
does. And things pop up. I mean, it happens in our homes. You know, you can be the happiest person in the world, and you think everything is real great, and all of a sudden, you and your wife go to Mass, you come back from Mass, and you open up the door, and you think, boy, the carpets feel a little squishy, and you find out your hot water heater's just leaked all over the house, and things like that happen. Well, it's no different for a young seminarian. He may think everything is good and happy. I'll use Alex Kwa as an example. Goes to church, come back from church, lays down, and is paralyzed. Now you can imagine, even if you have good health insurance, we still mostly have deductibles, and that money has to come from somewhere.
Yep.
And that's what we as knights should be doing. Matter of fact, as we as the Catholic community should be doing. We should not let any of these young men suffer through that. So that's why we talked, and that's one of the things we talked to Father Sawicki about, is trying to get it in a good way to approach it, a good way to make sure that we cover all of these young men. And I think after we do, I'm pretty close to break, I would assume, Joseph.
Yep.
So I think when we get done with break, one of the things I'd like to do is, I think we'd like to say the a diocesan vocation prayer, and we can start off the second half of the program with that, Joe.
That sounds like a good plan to me, because you timed that well. This is starting in my ears, Michael. We'll be back right after these messages. And welcome back to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined as usual by my buddy Mike Jakubik. Michael, we were talking before the break about our seminarians and our deacons in the RSVP program, and there is a diocesan prayer for vocation.
Yes.
Why don't...
I think it's a good way to start off the second half of the show.
There you go.
I think it does two things. First of all, we're going to get to say a prayer. The prayer has a specific cause. Actually, it's all vocations, and I think when you hear us say the prayer, you'll realize it's not just for our clergy. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our diocese with selfless hearts that are willing to serve you by serving your church. Lord Jesus, raise up from our families those called by the Father, courageous and humble men to the priesthood, generous servants to the permanent diaconate, zealous faithful to the consecrated life, holy men and women to the married life, and authentic disciples to the single life. Holy Spirit, help us to live our universal vocation to holiness by listening to the Father's voice and responding with a sacrificial love. Holy Mary, model of vocations, teach us to hear and follow your Son. Holy Mary, Queen of Priests, sanctify our priests and obtain for us many more. Holy Mary, Mother of the Church, pray for our families and intercede for our children. Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I really like the prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I say it every morning, and I think because it it really and truly encompasses everything. If you pay attention to the prayer, it talks about our priest, it talks about our permanent diaconates, and it also talks about us, the laity, whether we're married, so that we do a good job in our marriages, or if you're single, that you are a good disciple of our faith. So I really like it. I think it's an easy prayer to say. I'm really surprised. This is the first time I've seen it. It may have happened in the past, but Joe and I are able to look at these. I'm sorry that all of you can't. But the one little, I guess it's like 7 inches long and 3 inches wide or something in it, and it names all the seminarians and specific days that, you know, who the prayer goes to. Yeah,
we should pray for them.
And then a new one that this is the first time I've seen it, is actually praying for our deacons, active and retired. And it does the same thing. It goes down the list for all 30 days of the month, and we pray for them. And Bishop Gaynor has always prayed for on the first. It does the same thing with the seminarians card. When you turn that over, it prays for all active duty and retired priests. And you'll have like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 per day. But the first of the month is always for Bishop Gaynor. And then I always throw in, because it only goes 30 days. On the 31st day, I always again say a prayer for Bishop Gaynor.
Yeah.
And some of the people I know,
at the end of the month, it's not a bad thing. Yeah. You've got a tough job. They all
You do. And some of them you get used to, like Father Rosman, I think, is the 23rd. And he's, because he's our parish priest, so I know that, because I always make sure I say the rosary for him. And then Father Sods, both of them, Kyle and Timothy, and Father Sawicki are the 24th. And Father Dema is the 6th. So I kind of get used to saying it, you know. And when I say it for all the priests that day, and I say for all the clergy, but I always say, please, Blessed Virgin Mary, a special for today's priest, and I read their names off.
But you know what?
Some of them are tough. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh yeah. Well, some of the
some of these priests have some
the order priests.
Yes, they are.
Names. Yes, and they're of course not being able to pronounce. You know, it's not as simple as saying Murphy or Yakubik or whatever. Yeah. But you know, we in the Harrisburg Diocese are. And I think probably throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and as far as the Knights are concerned, I'm going to say nation and maybe worldwide. But we have a good problem in that we have seminarians in various forms, or various stages of their formation. Yeah. And that's a good problem to have. There are dioceses in this country that have nobody in seminary.
Yeah, actually, one of the things that we talked to Father Foray and Father Sawicki about was that. That when, you know, when I look, and it's only because of the fact that RSVP is considered a program. So it comes under the guys that on our team. And Don Granada is the director of faith, and that falls into his area. And then John George specifically deals as the chairman of the RSVP. So I get to see all the information that comes in. And when you do, you can really, I mean, you actually feel a little proud, you know. I mean, it's like when I don't have to be humble and I stick my chest out a little bit. And when I go to these meetings, I say, you know, we're in a relatively small diocese when you talk about total Catholic population. But we have a really outstanding group of seminarians. You know, I go to some of these dioceses and they have 3, maybe 5, maybe 8 seminarians. And we're in the 20s. We're always in the 20s.
I think so. The last I heard was somewhere around 22, 23.
And I think that's one of the things that, you know, I do get to boast about a little bit. I said, you know, maybe you guys ought to pray a little bit more or something, because I said, whatever we're doing in this diocese, it's good. I even saw something that really surprised me. St. Patrick's, they're turning out priests like crazy. And this is St. Patrick's in Carlisle.
In Carlisle.
They have three right now in various stages of formation.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it should make them proud, because whatever they're doing is right.
Sure.
Yeah, whatever they're doing is right. I think they have a good holy life. I think right now Father Bender's over there. I believe he's the parish priest. They just lost.
Think you're right.
Yeah,
because,
I think they just changed.
Because he was just, I think, since June transferred.
Yeah, I think he was just changed in. So, and, you know, I think we're lucky. We have a lot of really great priests. I know you hear about, you always hear about the bad priest, and that's that's a real shame, because I think when you look at your parish and you look at your donations to your parish, look at the priest you have, because he's probably doing an outstanding job or he wouldn't be there.
There you go. And you know what? There's more good than there is bad.
You got that right,
Joe.
Yeah,
I mean, realistically, with all that's going on, you know,
And it's always easy, you know, to throw fruit at the bad guys, you know, and then you try to throw, and then you start throwing it at everybody.
Well,
you find out,
like,
it's not true.
What the Bible says, let he who is innocent cast the first
stone.
None of us walk on water. There's only one guy you and I ever knew that walked on water. Yep. Okay, realistically. Yeah.
And we have to do that. This show's going to air on Saturday, I guess,
mm-hmm.
November 2nd.
If I get done on time, it will air Saturday, yes.
Okay, so if it's airing Saturday, keep this in mind. The State Soccer Challenge is going to be held up at St. Patrick's. I think it's Marsh Drive in Carlisle, and registration's at 12, and the soccer shoot actually starts at 1 o'clock. It's not a real long competition, because these are the best of the best. These are the young boys and young girls that are representing the regions, and there's only 5 regions. So if you're talking, you know, I'm not sure the ages, I apologize, but if you're talking 8 to 14,
mm-hmm.
you know,
well,
there's not that many kids participating. So I think right now we have 31 individuals that are going to be coming to go to states, and then the winners will be sent up to Supreme. And if they do well enough, which we had a young man do really well last year, they can get an international award. And so we've done pretty well in that. So keep it in mind, if you have nothing to do, Sunday's not going to be the most pleasant of days, but you can dress up a little bit warmer. Come on out and watch the kids kick. Some of these kids are really good. I mean,
I
watch their form, yeah.
Intramural leagues here in the area.
Watch their form, and they're outstanding. I mean, you see a lot of really neat kicks. And then we have some of the younger ones, which are they may not be the best kickers in the world, but they got a lot of smarts, and they go for the points. They say, okay, I'm not going to do it, but I'm going to make sure I get points every time. And it's really interesting. It's fun to watch. You know, we'll present the colors as we always do. Our state deputy will be there to congratulate the people, the young people. I will be there, which doesn't mean much. Chet Young will be there. I just kind of walk around, look pretty. That's my major job, I guess. I don't know. But we have Chet Young, who runs our soccer. He's the soccer chairman,
mm-hmm.
and he will be there. Dave Kern, again, he actually runs the specific event, the state event. And he will be there, and he logs everybody in, gets the scores settled, makes sure that all the information gets up to Supreme. So, like I say, if you have a chance, stop by. You get to see some good kids kicking, and it's not a bad time. It really isn't.
And you know what? As we head into the month of November and, you know, Thanksgiving and then Christmas, Advent and Christmas, and then in January we'll be into the March for Life. I'm going to have to get a hold of Maria Gallagher and the gang over at the Pennsylvania Pro-Life and get them in here.
That's really a good idea.
The Knights,
really
we know, because we've been down there to the march.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and John Meenan, who's our life director, and he's also in charge of all the life activity, pro-life activities that we
maybe
do.
Maybe we could get Maria and him in here and do it.
Yeah, maybe I have John come on down. He's pretty easy to talk to. And again, there's other things coming up. We have Veterans Day,
mm-hmm.
which will be the 11th.
And Election Day is coming up, I think, what is it, the 5th?
Fifth is Election Day.
So get out and vote, regardless
Right. Whoever you vote for is your decision, but do get out and vote. I mean, you know, we have such a poor showing in the United States compared to countries that, you know, might actually get hurt to cast a vote, and they're willing to do it. And, you know, all we do is walk into a room and click and that's it. Nobody says anything to us. But there are other places where you may actually, your life could be threatened just to vote if you don't vote the way they want you to vote. So, you know, take advantage of it.
We take an awful lot of stuff.
Yeah, we do. We really do.
We really, really and truly do.
We were actually talking about some of that in the meeting on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We have it so good that we don't realize how bad other people have it. That's one of the things that we do with the Marian Icon. It's taking its tour again. We started it up. If you have an opportunity to go. Because every prayer that's said is being said for persecuted Christians. You know, we get up in the morning and we decide, oh, I think I'm going to go to Mass today. You go to Mass. If you decide, nah, I'm not going to go to Mass, you don't go to Mass. There are people in this country that want to go to Mass, and they can actually be killed for just talking about it.
Amen.
And so keep that in mind. Do what you can. Come out. Have some fun with us. We'd love every man out there to join the Knights of Columbus. You know, I mean that in all sincerity, and I don't mean it because, you know, for any other reason other than the fact that I've had a good time. And we need younger people, because I'm not going to be doing this anymore. You know, after June 30th, I may do some things in my own home council, but I'm not going to do anything at the state level.
State level, like you are now, being a state officer.
And so that's what we need, is young people to do that. So keep it in mind. Join the Knights Club.
With that, along with Mikey Kubik, I'm Joe Murphy. Thank you for listening, and God bless you one and all.